This is the pre-bid conference for renovation of ornamental plantings in Chowan County along US 17. Appreciate Mr. Brown, our only contractor, for being present today. I'll say up front that I will not be reading this entire contract document. We do certainly advise you to read the whole thing and be aware of all that it entails. And also any references to the general standards and specifications, that you know what your requirements are with those in that regard, and are very familiar with the contract requirements. There is a 5% bid bond or bid deposit required, and you can find those pages, the last seven pages or so of the contract, are your bid bond documents that you would need to pick out which one of those reflects your business and fill it out and bring that in along with your bid, or send it in along with your bid. One thing I'd like to point out today and draw your attention to, I've given you a sheet about attention to bidders. Effective August 1st, any bids accepted after August 1st will require that you use expedite bidding software, and you have two methods to submit a bid, or will be using expedite. The printed and signed proposal with a price bid form printed from expedite and submitted to the division on a CD or flash drive containing the priced EBS file, or two, submit your bid through Bid Express using expedite. Either way, note that after January 1st of 2018, any lettings on or after that date will use expedite software, and all bids must be submitted through electronic submission. If you have any questions about that and getting set up with it, you can contact, there's people in Raleigh that are ready to walk you through that process. If you have any questions locally, you can call the division office. Barry Hobbs and Chris Slatkin, those guys can walk you through how to get set up for electronic bid submission. All right, moving on with our contract today. This is DA00364. On page 4, instructions to bidders. Please note that the proposal with the itemized proposal sheet attached shall be placed in a sealed envelope and shall have been delivered and received in the Division 1 office. Not this office, but Division 1. Bids are due by 2 p.m. on Wednesday, June the 21st. On page 5, if you plan to go ahead and submit through electronic bidding, you'll see some instructions here. But just keep in mind that anything let after August 1st will have to be, you'll have to go through the expedite system, and then January 1st, anything will have to be submitted electronically. But for this particular contract, paper bid submitted is fine. Number 6, page 6, this is a mandatory pre-bid conference. So obviously, Mr. Brown, you are the only person bidding. But just keep in mind that we do have an estimate for this project, and if the project's in excess or way below that estimate, we would have to look at it to see if we'd be able to award it. Okay. Under bonding requirements, a bid bond is required, and a contract and payments performance bonds are also required. Page number 7, contract time, liquidated damages. Date of availability for the contract is October 15th, and completion date is going to be November 30th of the year 2020. The intermediate contract time number 1 is from October 15th, 2017 to December 15th of 2017. In other words, the work of this contract, the initial work, will have to be done in that 2-month period of time. Then following that would be a monthly warranty work, which is for 36 consecutive months, and each intermediate contract time begins on the first day of each month and ends on the last day of each month. And both of these ICTs carry a $500 per calendar day fine if those deadlines are not met for whatever reason. There is sufficient time built in for weather delays and so forth, so we wouldn't expect for you to use that as a reason for having to go beyond the time frames that are allowed. Day and time restrictions, Monday through Thursday, and then Friday, notice that Friday from 30 minutes before sunset to 30 minutes after sunrise on Monday, that means no Saturday or Sunday work can be done on this contract. Then there are some other intermediate times where lane closure restrictions exist. Under prosecution of work, please note that once you get started, we expect you to finish. We don't want you to leave the project until the work is completed. If you do suspend your operations in violation of these provisions, a sum of $250 will be charged to you for each and every calendar day that such suspension has taken place. There are no major contract items and no specialty items in this project. Under disadvantaged business enterprise, on page 11, you see that the goal is actually zero, which means there is no requirement for DBE participation in the contract. However, should you choose to use DBE contractors, subcontractors in this work, we would appreciate if you would list them on the DBE form and include what percentage of the contract you intend to use them for. In no way does this prohibit you if you do at list zero. In no way does this prohibit you from being able to use DBE contractors in the course of this work. We go over to page 21. I just want to mention that this is a federal aid contract, and as such, there are federal provisions in the back of the contract that will have to be adhered to. Specifically, I want to point out that certified payrolls will be required prior to receiving payment on the project. At each interim that payment is available, we cannot issue one until we've received the received and approved your certified payroll. As far as subsurface information on page 22, there is no subsurface information available on the project. Contractor shall make his own investigation of subsurface conditions. Please make sure, page 23, that you locate any existing underground utilities prior to beginning work. This is going to be very important because we are requiring that you use a tree spade to move some of these trees, which will go really deep into the ground. So you need to make sure that there are no utilities underneath any of these trees prior to beginning your dig. On page 25, do note that liability insurance is required, and you can go to the standard specifications for those amounts. And also, prior to beginning service, all contractors shall provide proof of coverage issued by Workman's Comp insurance carrier or a certificate of compliance for those contractors who may be self-insured, or if you use any self-insured subcontractors. You may run into that if you have to hire a company that does tree spade work. You need to make sure that they can provide your workman's comp insurance, and if they don't carry it, then they have to present a certificate of compliance from the Department of Insurance, irrespective of whether they have regularly in service fewer than 3 employees. Let's see, subletting of contract. All requests to sublet shall be submitted within 30 days of the date of availability or prior to the expiration of 20% of the contract time. So if you choose to use a subcontractor in any of this work, there's going to be a substantial amount of seeding and mulching work to be done. So if you were going to call on Sadler to come and do that work for you, then we'd have to have the request for subcontracting 30 days prior to that work being done so we can make sure everything is good. Okay? And as part of a subcontract, the federal provisions that are in this contract had to be made part of whatever contract you have with your subcontractor. All right? And whatever work they do on your project, they would have to submit a certified payroll for the people that they have working on your project also before we can pay anything on that. All right, on page 26, and this is where you might want those color copies. Sure.
It is
a
black and white.
Here you go. Okay. The roadway special provisions. In general, this provision covers the work of renovation of existing shrub and tree planting areas, including but not limited to the selective removal and disposal of all undesirable vegetation, moving crepe myrtle trees with a tree spade, pruning crepe myrtle trees, seeding and mulching, and subsequent warranty work. This proposal is subject to the 2012 standard specifications for roads and structures. Under vegetation removal, you're going to grub out the non-desirable vegetation and then fill any voids from that with topsoil. Obviously, any trees are going to remain in place. We want you to be very careful not to damage those in any way, you know, hitting them with a bucket of the machinery you have in there or a piece of machinery and scraping them up or whatever. But please make sure that you're careful around the trees that are going to remain. There are six sections of vegetation that's going to be removed, and locations are described as follows. And we'll go through those starting with page 27. All right, on the first site, this is at exit 230 on the southbound lane side of 17. At this exit, this is the Broad Street, the first exit if you're coming from the north towards the south. This is the first exit you get to going into Edenton. A lot of big stuff in there. Lots of big stuff. The majority of it's coming out. So we want you to retain and prune the crepe myrtles that you see that are
right,
have the white around them, and then grub out everything else that's in between. Remove all other plant material inside the red line and grub out the roots and fill the voids with topsoil. Now, when we get to the trees that are right beside the crepe myrtle trees, if it looks like it's going to be better just to cut them off right at the ground and so that we don't disturb the roots right around those crepe myrtles, then that would be fine. It's just that anything that you grub that you cut off must be painted with a herbicide to keep them from resprouting and coming back up. Crepe myrtles are horrible for that. So it may take some effort to keep them from coming back. And then fill any voids created with topsoil. There's some large Sasanqua camellias in there too. And I'll also say if you wanted to dig any of those for transplant somewhere else, that's great. It's actually part of our, that would be part of the recycling that the DOT likes for the contractor to do as opposed to sending that stuff to a landfill. If you have a use for those trees or shrubs in another location off of this project, that's completely fine. We'd love to see you plant them somewhere else as opposed to they just go to the landfill or get chipped up. After completing taking out the vegetation, you need to grade and seed and mulch the entire disturbed area. And then...
Just mulch the tree rings.
Yes, you're just going to mulch the tree rings, a 6-foot diameter tree ring around each one of the remaining crepe myrtle trees. You're going to prune them up, clean them up, and then mulch around each one of them. Then after that, after you've established vegetation back, starting the next spring when grass grows again, you're going to mow from the edge of pavement all the way to the tree line between these white lines. Okay.
What are we seeing then? October, November, I'm assuming rye and fescue?
No. There it is fescue, centipede, and we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. We know that it's not gonna come up, the centipede's not gonna come up right then.
But you wanna go ahead and put it
mm-hmm.
down?
Yep. We require that you go ahead and put it down.
Okay.
Yep. 10 pounds to the acre. So it's a little extra than what you would normally put down.
Okay.
All right. Any questions on that site? Okay. Let's move on to page 28. This would be the Paradise Road exit. The only thing that's at that exit is a triangular bed, and there are 3 crepe myrtle trees in there, those that are noted in yellow, that are going to be lifted by tree spade and carried down to the last exit, which is the Queen Street exit. So we want you to take those 3, and there's actually 5 in there. The trees that are on the other side of the road, on the Paradise Road ramp, one of the ones that were selected to be moved doesn't look very good. So we may want to pick up another one out of here instead of the one on the other side of the road. But
okay.
The trees that we're going to get you to move, they will be flagged in the field so you'll know which ones will be removed or moved and which ones would just be destroyed. Okay? So there's 3 crepe myrtle trees there. Everything else comes out. Once you get the crepe myrtle trees out, it's just a matter of grubbing everything else out, regrading it, and seeding and mulching it. And then beyond that, there is no requirement to mow here.
Okay.
That'll just become part of your other contract for mowing. All right, on page 29, this is the opposite side of the road. Again, the red area, that semicircle triangle, all of that comes out. And then on this ramp, I think it's that first yellow tree that's busted down. So like I said, we might find one in this triangular area here, Lyle, that's good, or we may pick another one up from the other side.
This is the southbound lane here?
This is the northbound lane side. Northbound lane. It's at the top. This is, if you're coming back towards Hertford, the exit at Paradise Road that you would take to come into Edenton.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was at the wrong intersection.
Yeah, these are relatively small trees.
Yeah.
These are.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. The Martin Luther King trees are big.
That's where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at
We ain't got there yet, and
okay.
I know you have questions about that.
Okay.
Again, retain the trees that are circled and put a 6-foot tree ring around those. When you do mow, you're going to mow from the edge of pavement back to the tree line, basically what you see there.
Okay. That's being taken out, and then we're leaving the 3,
mm-hmm.
taking out the 6, and completely removing
That's
it.
That's correct.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Correct. All right. On page 30, now this is the Martin Luther King exit,
yeah.
And these trees are big. So this is where you're going to need a larger spade. We have a chart that lists the minimum size root ball that you need to pull for a tree of this size. It's going to be about 50 inches. It's going to be a hoss. You're going to need a big one. And like I said, you need to make sure you check with the local utilities, Chowan County Water Department, you know, check with everybody to make sure there's not anything down there underneath these
right.
trees.
Right.
I don't know if there is or not. If there is, if you find out that there is something down there, we may have to make some adjustments in just removing those trees and using some nursery bought trees. Okay? So We'll just have to play that by ear and see, but you'll need to do your inspection on utilities pretty quickly so we know what we're going to do there. And in that triangular area, everything comes out.
Okay.
Okay. All right. On page 31, this is the opposite side of the road from the one we just looked at. Again, exit going into Martin Luther King. And there's four crepe myrtles in that bed. So if we need to take some of those additional and not take the ones on Martin Luther King, we can. Certainly we'll look at all of it and see what's going to be the best option of which ones to move. We'll take the best looking.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Right. Okay. And then after this comes out, there's no mowing requirement at this location because there won't be anything there but grass. All right, now, this gets us, page 32 gets us down to the Queen Street exits. There are four quadrants there. And there are longleaf pines planted in all four quadrants. In quadrant number four, there's no requirement for you to do anything in that quadrant. Okay, but in 1, 2, and 3, what we're asking that you do is go in there and mow between the pines. It would be to your advantage in these places, in some of it, to spray herbicide prior to going in there and get rid of the briars and brambles and vines and junk in some of it. Certainly not all of it, but there's some that I would highly recommend that you spray prior to going in and grubbing it out. It's one thing to go and grab a mimosa tree with a piece of equipment, get it out of your way. It ain't coming back. But a lot of these briars and brambles will, and they'll be hard just to get them out anyway. So, I mean, you may end up just with a bush hog trying to cut them down. We'd like to see some herbicide sprayed on them before that.
You sound like Gorlon, probably.
Yeah. Yep.
Element 3A.
Just need to be very careful around the pines. We want to retain the pines.
Right.
Now, so you understand how the pines were planted. The guy came in with a apparatus that took the top 4 inches of turf and just peeled it back and made a trench that was just about two feet wide. And then he planted these longleaf pines this tall in that trench right in the middle. So what we have now is between the rows of pine trees. And what we want you to do is to smooth it out to a mowable state around those pines. Obviously, you can't get all up in all of the pines. So it's going to be selected areas that you're going to be able to get in there and get a lot of work done. But as much as possible that can be smoothed out to a mowable state, that's what we want. Okay.
It's a very sandy.
Extremely. Extremely sandy soil. So it's movable. So with a good piece of equipment, a good operator, I think you can do wonders in this area. This end of this quadrant, all around next to the ramp, is going to be a piece of cake. Getting in a little closer is going to be harder. This one is going to be a little bit more difficult. But you see, we've only selected a small portion of it.
So we are doing something in quadrant four?
No. Quadrant four.
Okay, I'm looking at it upside down. I'm sorry.
No.
I saw it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Number 3, let me warn you ahead of time, is a minefield. That was a spoil site when construction took place. There's concrete, there's rebar, there's asphalt, there's rock, you name it. And it ain't but about 6 inches deep. It was a real pain. We tried, before we ever planted trees here, we tried to disc it one time to plant wildflowers, and it was like discing a cemetery. There was so much hard stuff, 6-12 inches underneath the soil surface. So I'll tell you that ahead of time. I don't know what kind of machinery you might use to try to smooth out those rows, but you may end up hitting some large pieces of stuff. As much as possible, leave them where they are. Don't try to get them out. If you hit something that's got to go, just got to go, then pull it out, and we'll see what we got to do with it, okay?
In that area, I saw you had 20 yards of topsoil. I mean, is there any available soil amendments if it gets, because you want it to a mobile state and you're not going to want, I mean, if it's sticking 2 or 3 inches up, you definitely ain't going to want to mow it through it. So is that a, you're looking to get it to a mobile state? Mm-hmm.
There's no allowance for topsoil in these areas. What I would say, if you got something that's sticking up, and right now there's not anything that I know of. It's just when you put a disc or a blade in the dirt, you start hitting things, okay? But above the surface right now, I don't believe there is anything. I think it's clean. Even the 4 inches that the guy planting the trees, he didn't run into any problems with that. It was when we put a disc in it to try to disc it up to make a wildflower bed out of it a few years prior to that, is when we started hitting stuff.
Okay.
So I know it's not far down.
Okay.
It's 6 to 12 inches deep, and then you're going to hit it.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think we've got anything that's above surface. But if we do, what we will have you do, instead of hauling something away, is move over, dig a hole, put it back down in the ground like it was before.
Okay.
But get it to a mobile state.
Okay.
Okay? And no, there would not be any topsoil or anything available, because these areas are huge. It would be it'd take a tremendous amount to be able to do that. And then in these areas that are surrounded in red, we want it mowed. So you're going to see that even under the trees, we want them mowed around. So you're going to have to do some work. If you can't get the big equipment in there, you may have to do something with some smaller piece of equipment in and around the trees, with smoothing it out where it can be mowed. Those ridges are not nearly as pronounced as they were at one time. I mean, it's been 12 years, and just from rain, they kind of filled back in some, but it's plenty bumpy. So you're going to have to do some grading with a small tractor in and around the trees just to get it where it's a little smoother for mowing. But we literally would like to have everything inside those red lines mowable.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this the red lines part of the maintenance, monthly maintenance?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're going to mow
in
between all those monthly?
Yes. This is where the emphasis is going to be. Once we're done on the other ends, you've got the Martin Luther King ramp on the southbound lane side of the road. You've got the Broad Street southbound lane side of the road. You've got Paradise Road northbound lane side of the road, that you'll have to do some strip mowing in those three locations. But your big emphasis is right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We will continue doing wildflower plantings in this quadrant number 4. And at some point during the season, we're going to say, okay, now we want you to mow this. You'll go in there and mow all of them down, and then from that point on, you'll just mow that quadrant just like you do the other ones.
So we're never going to plant this quadrant again?
No.
Oh, okay.
We will plant. But there'll be some point in the season where we'll want him to come in
just
and mow them down.
Okay.
Yeah. And then if y'all decide to do an early spring planting, mow it down, do a summer planting, you know. But at some point he'd have to mow this quadrant as well. And if you notice the lines kind of go away, this is where the ramp gets the shoulder. I mean, it's a heel.
Right.
So we don't want you. This follows the toe of the slope, the bottom of the slope. So we're not asking you to get up on these slopes with your mowers at all.
Right.
Any questions about this location and what our intent is to finish product?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This will have to be seed and mulched. These are fairly large quadrants, and again, if you were to bring in somebody like Sadler to do the seed and mulching, because you will have to put straw and crimp it on these areas. We're not asking you to tack it because it's far enough off the road shoulder, that you shouldn't encounter a lot of wind blown from the traffic. So, but if you wanted to bring in somebody like that, then you would need to submit a subcontractor agreement for that. All right, on page 33, this shows the location of the crepe myrtles that we're going to be moving from the other places down here. They're basically going to be 10 feet off of the tree line that's established already, the longleaf pines, just far enough in front that we can get a mower behind them and around them so that our regular highway mowing efforts will be able to mow around these things. And they're going to be spaced approximately 90 feet apart. So that's a rough measurement. They'll be evenly spaced as you see them here, and it's roughly 90 feet apart.
Okay.
Again, a 6-foot tree ring around each one of them. All right. And then on 34, this is showing the location of the transplanted trees on the west side of Queen Street interchange. Any questions by any of the locations?
The trees that we move,
mm-hmm.
we take every precaution that we can to transplant them and
mm-hmm.
get them in. And, you know, my concern with the large tree,
mm-hmm.
Middle of July we lose one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the warranty?
It's coming.
I mean,
you mentioned that to me before, and we added a line item
okay.
into the bid form to allow for a replacement tree in the future if we lose one of them.
Did you give a size?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, on page 35, as far as transplanting the trees, it will require a tree spade to replant them. And we've given, these are, this chart is right out of the International Arboriculture standards for the minimum diameter root ball size.
Right.
And I'll just emphasize, this is the minimum diameter size. You can go bigger, but this is the minimum size that you need to consider. Those trees on Martin Luther King may very well be 16 feet tall. They're pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're mighty close to it if they're not that. They may be just 14, but even so, it's going to take a pretty good sized tree spade to move them. Now, you have the option to do this. You can go to Queen Street, especially if it's a tree spade that's on a truck mounted. This would be easy to do. You go to Queen Street, you dig your plug, set it off to the side, or pick it up and carry it with you. You get back up there to the site that you're moving the tree, you dig the tree, go put it in the hole you just dug, come back, pick that plug up, and put it in that hole. That we've seen that done many times. It works fine. If you're going to hand dig your holes and put them in, then you need to follow the normal spec, which is
right.
2 times wider. You know, but you can do your planting with the tree spade. That's okay.
That would be a nightmare.
If you're just on a tractor, yes. If you're on a truck
that can move down the road back and forth.
Hmm?
Digging the hole twice as big.
Yes.
That would be a nightmare
mm-hmm.
to sustain that tree.
And hold it in place.
That would be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. It could be.
It would be.
Gotta stake them. Gotta stake them good.
Light poles out there.
You gotta stake them good. Yeah, I remember well the ones that leaned in Plymouth.
Oh, yeah. And they weren't big. They weren't big when we dug them. We dug those with 30-inch spade.
They're still leaning.
Yeah, they're still leaning.
Jamesville.
Yeah, Jamesville. What did I say, Plymouth?
Yeah. It was some in Plymouth, too.
All right. So, like I said, with the tree spade,
okay.
you can do the planting that way,
okay.
and it's fine. That you'll still have to make a tree ring around it, mulch it, so that when you do put water on it, it holds right there at that root ball and doesn't go anywhere. The soil at the ramps is going to be similar but less sandy than what is at Queen Street. Queen Street is very sandy. Of course, you may hit some of that concrete and stuff when you go to dig tree holes. Luckily, there's only three in that area. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. The plug would hold down there.
I don't know. It may not. It may be that after you get down a foot or two, it's something totally different. I can't answer. But I can tell you what's on top is very sandy.
I can tell you what's across the street in the pond. It walk dug for that. I mean, it's all sand.
It's just all sand, yeah.
It's all sand.
Yeah. Page 36 is just a drawing of a tree planting detail. Obviously, that's a single trunk tree. We don't want single trunks. We want multiple trunks. We want 3 to 7 trunks left. But I'll get to that in a minute. Your topsoil, it will need to be tested, even though it may be the same pit that you've given us soil from before. We will have to have it tested again for this project. So Dennis will need ample time ahead of time.
All right, I already have my samples in.
All right. Pruning and shaping of trees.
Ain't got nothing to do with that.
I got 2 bags. I got out of here. I mean, I can take 2 more.
All right. Pruning and shaping trees. Remove all but 3 to 7 trunks. 4, 5, 6, 7, 3. It doesn't matter. Just pick each tree as an individual, and you're going to be able to tell when you look at it how many you need to save. Take out any crossing branches, any dead wood. Suckers, of course, and just prune them up nice, just like you did the ones in Hartford. That was perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Clean them up nice. The Martin Luther King ones won't need nearly as much pruning as the ones on Paradise Road. Those exits are going to need. Yeah. Okay. As far as weed control.
And you're okay if we prune the ones we're replanting. Mm-hmm. A little bit more expensively than, because I mean, the more we take off, the better.
The thinking is, if you reduce more than a third of the canopy, you're putting the tree in a lot of stress. So just don't take off more than a third of the leaf surface that we're going to have for the next year, because the tree needs to have it to be able to produce food for itself. So do I want it cut back to cuts that are 3 inches in diameter? Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, we don't. We want to reduce a third of the canopy and no more.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Briars and brambles under weed control, like I said before, in some of those quadrants, you're going to be better off to spray some of that stuff and get it out of there first. For mulch, within 30 days of placing mulch, you need to apply a pre-emergent. Snapshot's great. We've got the same standard list of herbicides on the next page that are already pre-approved. But if you want to use something different, that's fine. You just need to submit to us what it is you plan to use and what rate you're going to use it. Any newly mulched areas, you need to put the pre-emergent on it within 30 days. Then during warranty work, you can use post-emergent herbicides in those mulch rings. But if you do not get it on the trunks of the crepe myrtle trees or damage them in any way, because you'll have to replace it. Even a small amount of damage, you may have to replace that tree. So. And then whoever makes that application of herbicide either needs to possess or be in the presence of someone who does possess a valid NCDOT, good morning, pesticide applicator's license with an H endorsement. Okay. There's your herbicide chart of already pre-approved products. Under mulch for planting, the mulch needs to be double shredded hardwood bark. We don't want we don't want any wood in this. We want bark mulch, good bark mulch. And we don't want painted mulch, just plain old bark mulch is what we want. When they place the mulch, make sure that your guys pull the mulch away from the trunks of the trees. They don't mound it up against them, but pull it away from the trunks of the trees. Okay, mulch after planting. Between March 1st and April 30th of each year of your warranty period, 18, 19, and 2020, you need to reapply mulch on each of these tree rings to make sure that you maintain that 3 inches of mulch. So however much it takes to replenish the mulch is what we want you to put. And then the very last month of the contract warranty work, you would mulch it one last time to make sure that we've got a good finish before we turn it back over to the county. All right, water for planting. You will water trees throughout the initial planting. This is going to be done after leaf drop. That's one of the things we're requiring, that you wait until fall senescence and the leaves have dropped before you go pick the trees up and move them. During each watering cycle, we want you to give them a minimum of 10 gallons of water per tree. Alright. Water after planting. Now this is where it becomes critical, and you may use tree bags if you want to. That's perfectly fine. And honestly, being that they're as far off the road as they're going to be, tree bags may stay there just fine without anybody saying, "Oh, I believe I want those in my yard." They might disappear, but if you choose to use tree bags, you can. But from May through June of 2018, that's the first spring, you need to water them with 10 gallons of water per tree weekly. Okay? Then, following that, in July and August, we want you to do it on 14-day intervals. Every 2 weeks, they need to be watered with 10 gallons of water per tree. And this is just for the trees that have been transplanted. The ones that we're not moving, they don't need anything. Okay? And then the schedule for water shall resume on 14-day intervals from June through August of 19, unless the engineer says, "We don't need it. We're looking great." Okay? But that comes into play if, like you said, in July of the following year, a tree just gives up the ghost, and it may. I mean, that's totally possible. If it does, we'll replace it, and then you'll have to pick up the water in the next year for that replaced tree, okay, most likely.
So we're looking on the water, and initially, we're mm-hmm. going to put 10 gallons on each tree when we plant them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to put 10 gallons
weekly, each tree.
Starting in May.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to water them one time when we plant them.
Mm-hmm.
They leaf drop, we're going to plant, water them one time, and mm-hmm. then in May we're going to start a
That's
watering
right.
cycle.
Yes.
Okay.
That should work. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah. We'll have to read the trees, you know.
That's right. We'll have to read the trees and see what they need. If that 14-day interval in July and August is not enough, we'll drop back and go back to once a week.
Okay.
But I'm hoping, Lyle, that by planting them in the fall, that by May and June, they will have put out a lot of good feeder roots, especially in the spring. And then the every week watering there in the spring to give them that extra boost to put out those roots.
And we're putting them in long burlap, putting them down.
Now, if you move them with the tree spade, you can skip the burlap and the wire basket.
Okay. The burlap, that's what I'm looking at. I don't know that you're going to put the feeders out through that burlap in a year.
If it's regular burlap, I think you will. If it's that poly stuff, no. That's just like putting a bucket down in the ground.
Right.
I think it rots fast enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those roots.
I would prefer.
It's amazing how strong those roots are.
Yeah. I'd prefer to put them without the basket and the bag just for just for that purpose if we can.
It's fine with me.
Okay.
My biggest concern is that you move that root ball intact.
Yeah.
It does not fall apart on
right,
it.
Right,
okay?
Right, right.
So.
Try to dig the hole as tight as we can dig to put the tree back in.
Mm-hmm. So it does not fall apart against
right.
on you. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to see how they're. I think you move them once the leaves drop. You move them then. And what kind of crepe myrtles are they?
They're Natchez.
Natchez. That's pretty hardy.
Yeah. I wish they were pink or red or something because I think they'd make more of an impact. Mm-hmm. But they're Natchez.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're white.
Okay.
All right. But basically during each watering cycle, a minimum of 10 gallons per tree shall be applied. And like I said, if you choose to use tree bags so it's easy to figure out how much water you've put out, that's great.
2 5-gallon buckets per tree.
Or 2 5-gallon buckets per tree. Set your bucket up, poke a hole or a couple of holes in the bottom of it on the side and tell your water truck, go by, fill the bucket up and go on to the next tree. That works fine too. Yeah,
you'd be amazed the number of folks I've told that and they're just like, it's the best watering apparatus.
Slow,
you can
have. Easy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
A 16-penny nail hole in the bottom of the bucket and fill it up and let it sit.
You know what you got.
Yeah. That's true. You know what you got. And who's going to want a bucket that's got a hole in the bottom of it? And probably not as many people that might want a tree bag. But, yeah, that works fine.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd leave the buckets out there, though.
Yeah.
That would not be a good idea. Far as landscape grading, those quadrants 1 through 3 are going to require the grading work. And then all disturbed areas are to be brought to a mowable condition and maintain positive drainage. And I know there are going to be pockets where it settles and there's going to be a little bit of, right after rain, there's going to be a little mud hole. That's okay. That's pretty sandy soil. But I don't want you to create a pond anywhere that's going to hold water for any long amount of time. Just do your best to try to make sure you're grading it so that the water sheds off.
So we're not grading quadrant 4 at all? We're not doing anything?
You don't have to do anything to quadrant 4.
Period.
No.
Okay.
Other than once we've done with the wildflowers to mow it for us. That's after that you have to mow it. But.
Okay.
And while wildflowers are in bloom, we're going to be mowing it very regularly, and we're going to mow around those crepe myrtle trees, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Under seeding and mulching, our seed mixture is 50 pounds of tall fescue, 10 pounds of centipede, and 500 pounds of fertilizer. It would behoove you to pull a soil sample in those quadrants and see just what kind of pH you've got, and if it's really, really, really low, you might need to put some lime. Okay. And we're looking at September 1 through February 28th. That's going to be the planting time. Yes.
If you did pull the pH and it was low and you had to put lime, was that an additional lime item somewhere?
It's not, and it may be something that we'll want to do for him because it'd be simpler.
Oh, probably.
Mm-hmm. Just put a.
So y'all just gonna pull y'all pull that soil sample and see what it means.
Not a bad idea.
I think I've got. I'll check my computer. I think I got a good idea what the pH is.
Because you've pulled it on the wildflower bed already.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, we'll check our records and see what we got on that bed. And if we're going to apply lime to that bed, we'll just throw it over the whole thing. Pine trees won't appreciate it, but the grass will. Pines will get over it. Oh, and let me point out, page 41, there's going to be a substantial amount of seed to go in those quadrants and in the areas that we're disturbing otherwise. All seed has to be tested by the NC Department of Agriculture. And so you either purchase seed that has already been tested and you've got the results for it, or whatever seed you purchase will have to be tested. And that is not a quick turnaround. It takes so many days for them to germinate the seed to get the first LZ on it. And then they'll give us a final in about 30 days, I think it is. So whatever seed that's going to be used on this project must be tested ahead of time before you put it out. And it'll have a sticker on the back.
Mm-hmm. It'd be easier if you just call Green Resources and tell them what you want. They'll have certified seed with that tag on it, and you won't have to go through all that.
But do keep it in mind, because that's one of the things we have to check for, is that the seed has been tested and certified.
NC
Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services Seed Testing Laboratory, page 41, top line. Yep.
And I know we've gotten some seed in that's got to...
A tag on it?
The tag on it for certification, but I don't know if it's...
It's not.
It's a DOT thing. It's not...
It's not in what is it, USDA or whatever that is. It's not that same tag. Okay. Like where Paul and them come pull a sample mm-hmm. or you check your...
Right.
It's a different
name. Okay.
It's like an orange looking...
Department of Agriculture.
It's actually the DOT is doing the testing. It's not agriculture. DOT does it. Cause a label to reflect otherwise specified here and rejected by DOT.
By the time you go through all that, like I said, you'll be...
It says it's sampled and tested by the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. It's mm-hmm. consumer set testing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So...
Our folks can actually come to your warehouse and pull your samples.
But then that's a pretty long turnaround time.
Yeah, if you want to go that route. Or you can buy, like he said, from a seed supplier that just normally has DOT come in and test their lots of seed, and their seed's already got that certification on it.
I checked with Southern Seed. We do buy right much. They're right there. I don't know. They're a pretty big seed company. I'll call them and see if they've got certified seed. If not, I'm assuming that the state has Green Sources.
Green Resources
Green
is
resources
one.
With us.
Probably Core Farm Supply would be another.
Core Cares, could we deal with them also?
Check with Ozzie and see if they have it then.
You're looking for NCDOT approved.
Yeah, seed. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, on page 43, you see that crimping shall be required on this project. So you put the straw down, you crimp it, and then you put straw on it again. Under monthly warranty work,
say that again. I'm sorry.
You crimp it, you put your straw down, you crimp it, and then you come back and blow another layer of straw on top. I think that's what it says.
You said seed it, crimp it, and seed it again.
Mm-mm. You seed it, then you straw it, crimp it, and straw it again. Then crimped. After crimping operation is complete, an additional application of straw shall be applied.
So are you crimping the second straw?
Mm-mm.
So you just
what crimp. Happens is that first crimp brings it up like this,
okay.
And the other straw gets in there, and it's like teeth. It kind of helps hold it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you put your first layer of straw and then blow some more over top of it.
Y'all got a pounds per acre of straw you want to blow?
We usually do 50 bales per acre, is that right?
I had to buy a little because some of it's in tons.
I think it's 50 bales per acre.
Okay.
So, but we'll check on it for you. Okay. Under monthly warranty work, it includes litter removal, sucker removal, performance of any needed pruning, any replacement planting, any application of pesticides, mowing at the designated sites. All of those things are part of monthly warranty work, and mowing is considered incidental to monthly warranty work. So just you know, when you go, you got any area that you're going to mow, you got to take all the litter out of it right before you mow. Any pesticide applications, they need to be done as soon as you've done your mowing monthly warranty work. Not, we don't need to be trying to find out when your girl is coming to do the spraying. Okay. All right, on page 44, pay items. A list. This is a list of all the things we're going to be paying you for and the unit of which it will be paid. So the selective vegetation removal is lump sum, and that's all that junk that's in those quadrants. That's just a lump sum. Transplanting trees is each generic planting item, plant species indicated in size in the contract. That is the line item for the replacement trees if needed. Topsoils by the cubic yard, pruning and shaping the trees is each, however many. I think there's 17 trees that you're actually moving, and then there's six. There's 10 trees that you're leaving in place. So that's a total of 27 trees that you'll be pruning and shaping. Everything else is either going to be moved away and planted somewhere else off the project, or destroyed and chipped up and done whatever you're going to do to them to dispose of them.
It's 27 total.
Mm-hmm. Yep. With 6-foot diameter tree rings. So that makes it easy to figure out your mulch needs. Okay, mulch for planting is by cubic yard, mulch after planting cubic yard. Water is by the 1,000 gallons, and we can drop that back to 1/10 of 1,000, so each 100-gallon unit. Landscape grading is lump sum. So grading has to take place at all of these areas, but it is a lump sum amount. Seeding and mulching is by the acre. And generic planting item monthly warranty work is for each individual month. Okay, on page 45, just is how we're going to pay by truck measurement for any topsoil, borrowed material that you bring in. The next section is materials, and these are corrections or additions to things that are already in the standard specifications regarding different types of materials that are used on our projects. A lot of this doesn't pertain to this project, but there are certain areas of that that do. Then the next section is traffic control. Let's take a little bit of time to talk about traffic control. As in the past, if there is a need for an attenuator truck, as long as you schedule in advance, we will provide an attenuator for your use. The inspector will actually drive it that day and we'll put it in place. You are responsible for all signage, cones, skinny cones, barrels, whatever it takes to set up a traffic control measure. Now, at Paradise Road and at Martin Luther King, those triangles that you have to take out, you are going to be so close to 70 mile an hour traffic, you will have to put in a lane closure when you're on the southbound lane side of the road for both Paradise Road and Martin Luther King. You can't get away from it. You've got to do it. So when you're doing that operation, you're going to have barrels, skinny drums, and the attenuator truck, no doubt. Okay? Some of the other locations, the northbound lane side of Martin Luther King, you're well off the pavement. So you'll be okay there. On the Paradise Road exit, on the northbound lane side of the road, that triangular, you're going to be well off the road and you'll be okay there. The only place you're going to get really close to pavement again is when you're using the tree spade to get those trees out. You work it from the backside, you're fine.
Right.
You work it from the roadside, you're going to have to set up all kinds of traffic control. All right, so we're clear on that. Southbound lane side, those two areas, it's going to be a complete lane closure with all the barrels, signs, everything that you got to have. We will supply the attenuator truck. Good? Okay. All right. And if you need assistance in figuring out how many drums, barrels, whatever you're going to need, Doug's probably the very best. Tony Wilson's really good. They can help you figure out how much stuff you're going to have for that work zone lane closure. And both of those areas involve a exit. So, you know, you've got to leave a space that people can encroach and go through the middle of your work zone. But you have to set it up back here, let them come through into your area, and then you set it up in front of them. So it's a little more complicated than some you may have worked in before. But you can't get by with not doing it. All right, under standard special, well, first off, are there any questions about any of the project special provisions? All right, under standard special provisions, because you had to be pre-qualified on the day bids are open. So make sure that your pre-qualification status is going to be still in place on that date. All persons working on the project must have on a safety vest. Let's see, plant pest quarantines, the straw, whoever supplies that will have to give us a certificate saying that it's been approved and it's free of the... that is certified free of witch weed and all those other things, fire ants and so forth. But we'll have to have our certificate stating that. Let's see. Then we get into the Title VI and non-discrimination information and then the federal provisions. There are wage rates that are to be paid in this contract, and you'll find those on pages 81 and 82. Any on-the-job training needs to be documented, and I'll just remind you again that certified payrolls are required for this project. On page 85, this is where you're going to find your listing of DBE subcontractors. Be advised that this must be filled out. If you're not going to use any subcontractors, just put a zero and carry that down to the bottom. Dollar value is zero. Percentage total contract bid price is zero. But if you are going to use DBEs, then you would list what item, line item, work that they're going to do, and the description of it, and what you agreed upon for the unit price that you're going to pay them, and then what the total dollar amount is that you're going to pay them. And then you tell us what percentage that is of your project. All right. So page 86, yes, is your bid page. And the thing that you asked us specifically about was the replacement planting. And you'll see that's line item number 4. So we've allowed for 10.
10 for the B&B.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've allowed for 10 during the life of the contract that you could replace. Mm-hmm. And if for some reason it goes beyond that, that's not a problem. We can actually overrun any line item by 100% if we need to. If there are any addendums, they'll be posted online and you'll receive an email letting you know that there was an addendum. And if there is, then you need to fill it out. I, Lyle Brown, representing, acknowledge receipt of addendum 1. If there's 2, you do the same thing. If there's 3, you do the same thing again. All right, the next portion is execution of bid. You need to pick the one of these forms that represents your business and fill that out. And then, like I said earlier, the course, debarment, if you've been debarred, you would have to give us a statement. Execution of contract, this page is filled out by our contract officer, and then the last seven pages of the contract are the bid bond. So this needs to be filled out, and you just need to, again, pick the one, the page that best suits your company. If you are a corporation, just remember that you must include your corporate seal or a drawing replica of your corporate seal on your bid bond form. Okay. Do you have any questions at all at this point? I'll remind you that bids are due by the 21st of June at 2 o'clock at our division office. And I appreciate your time coming today and your interest in the project. And I look forward to getting a bid from you.
Just a sign-out sheet, too.
That's the sign-out sheet. If you're... Would you like to go and look at the project as a group or as a whole or today?
What time is it? Nah, I think I'm good. Let's
okay. Then I highly encourage you as an individual bidder to go and look at the project. Make sure you understand all the issues that may come up during this project and be prepared to address them through the bid that you submit. It'd probably be a good idea for you to go ahead and call the utility companies, the county, county water system, and so on, and see what's there. It may not be anything, but definitely call the county water and make sure that there's not anything on those ramps before you just go on in there and get started. Yeah, I know there's some places where the county water goes across US 17 from one side of the road to the other, but I don't know where the line runs. I think for the most part it's close to the fence, but whether it's on any of those ramps, I can't tell you. I don't know.
Okay.
Check it out.
Okay.
All right. Did you get enough copies of the contract? We have extras if
no,
you need them.
I think
them.
We got a plenty.
Okay.
I got a plenty.
Hmm, you have a few more of these. You pin these up on your board. Give them to your installer, whatever. All right. Thank you very much.